From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
I was 11 years old when Bart Starr was the quarterback in Super Bowl I, and it was just a special feeling to watch him play, but then to come into the league and realize it wasn't the play on the field and wasn't the two Super Bowl MVPs and that made him who he really was. It was the outstanding person, the outstanding character. So fast forward 30 years later, and I become head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I took that lesson and I challenged our players with it and said, you know what, we're hired to win a Super Bowl and that's what we want to do, but if that's all we do, it won't be very meaningful. It's what we do in the community, what we do for the Lord that people are going to remember. And because of that, I think, and because of Bart's legacy, I actually coached five men that won this award because they took it to heart. So that's the impact Bart Starr had on me.
Super Bowl 41 championship coach, Tony Dungy. The athletes in action Bart Starr wore was created to honor the NFL player who best exemplifies outstanding character and leadership in the home, on the field, and in the community. The award is named after Bart Starr, who, in addition to being in the NFL Hall of Fame, was selected as MVP in Super Bowls I and II. Starr is an individual of impeccable character who has served his family and community faithfully through the years and is a role model for athletes and business people alike. Nominees are gathered from the public relations directors of each NFL team to pass winners of the Bart Starr Award, the athletes in action, pro staff working with NFL teams, and Bart Starr. Ballots are sent to each team and voting takes place at the same time as the Pro Bowl selections. In 1988, Athletes in Action held his first Super Bowl breakfast at Super Bowl XXII in San Diego, California. I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, the 29th Super Bowl breakfast, featuring the Bart Starr Award with Tony Dungy, Ben Watson, and Thomas Davis in Black America.
I just want to really start out by, you know, thanking God for being so amazing. With all that's gone on in my life and all the work that he's done to make me the person that I am, I mean, it's truly amazing. I also want to thank the Super Bowl breakfast for allowing us to be here today. Truly an honor. I want to thank the Starr family for this award and allowing me to, you know, just be the recipient of it this year. Thank my peers that voted for this award. This is an award that's truly voted on by your peers in the league. And it's nice to know what the guys around the league think about you as a player, as a person. And I cannot be more proud to be the recipient of this award. Next, I would like to thank my team owner, Mr. Jerry Richardson. So, I don't know, a lot of you probably don't know me, but I get emotional when I'm talking about things that are passionate and mean a lot to me. So, bear with me.
Thomas Davis, linebacker with the Carolina Panthers and the 2016 recipient of the Bart Starr Award. During Super Bowl 50 week, there are a number of events that take place, none more special than the Bart Starr Award at the Athletes in Action Super Bowl Breakfast. The Bart Starr Award is presented annually to the NFL player who best exemplifies outstanding character and leadership in the home, on the field, and in the community. Despite breaking his arm in the NFC Championship game, Davis played for the Panthers in Super Bowl 50 at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. In his 11-year career with the Panthers, Davis has made a massive impact both on and off the field. A 5-year captain, in 2012 he became the first NFL player to return for a full season after 3 ACL reconstructions on the same knee, and in the past 3 years he has played some of the best football of his career. During this program, we present highlights of the awards breakfast.
In his 11-year career with the Carolina Panthers, Thomas Davis has made a big impact, both on and off the field. After overcoming 3 ACL injuries to the same knee, Davis has played some of the finest football of his career during the past 3 years. He earned first-team All-Pro honors and was selected to the Pro Bowl this year after racking up 105 tackles and 4 interceptions, forcing 4 fumbles and recording 5.5 sacks. Recognized as the 2014 recipient of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, Davis has impacted the Charlotte community through his Thomas Davis Defending Dreams Foundation. Since its inception in 2008, the foundation has provided free programs that enhance the quality of life for more than 2,000 underprivileged children and their families each year, and distributed more than $500,000 in aid. The foundation's key program, the Youth Leadership Academy, offers mentoring programs for low-income middle school students and teaches life skills and leadership. The foundation also hosts an annual youth football camp for boys and girls, a back-to-school supply and backpack giveaway, a Thanksgiving meal at a battered women's shelter, and a Christmas gift giveaway. Also involved with the American Heart Association, the Second Harvest Food Bank, the area's Children's Hospital, and the Muscular Dystrophy Association, he has made helping underserved youth his passion. Thomas Davis is the recipient of the 2016 Bart Starr Award.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think most of you know in the championship game 2 weeks ago, Thomas broke his arm and he said, I will be playing in the Super Bowl. It's not going to stop me because I need to be there for my team. And you can see from that video, he's taken the same approach with the community of Charlotte. Nothing is going to stop me. I need to be there for my community. Ladies and gentlemen, the recipient of the 2016 Bart Starr Award, Thomas Davis.
How y'all doing this morning? Just want to really start out by, you know, thanking God for being so amazing. With all that's gone on in my life and all the work that he's done to make me the person that I am, I mean, it's truly amazing. I also want to thank the Super Bowl breakfast for allowing us to be here today. Truly an honor. I want to thank the Starr family for this award and allowing me to, you know, just be the recipient of it this year. Thank my peers that voted for this award. This is an award that's truly voted on by your peers in the league, and it's nice to know what the guys around the league think about you as a player, as a person, and I cannot be more proud to be the recipient of this award. Next, I would like to thank my team owner, Mr. Jerry Richardson. So, I don't know, a lot of you probably don't know me, but I get emotional when I'm talking about things that are passionate and mean a lot to me. So, bear with me. About 4 or 5 years ago, I sat in Mr. Richardson's office, and it was after my third ACL tear to the right knee, and
Mr. Richardson had to make a decision, him and Coach Rivera, on whether or not they would allow me to continue my NFL career. When you think about it, think about injuries in this game and the way things happen. You don't hear a guy coming back or having an opportunity to come back and play this game after going through what I had gone through. So with all that this award represents, having good character, being a good leader, I know in my heart without a doubt, because I am a person that exemplifies those things, that has good character, that's a good leader in our locker room, that's a big reason why I had the opportunity to continue to play. I don't take that for granted. And to this day, I'm so thankful for Mr. Richardson and the entire Panther organization for believing in me. Because when I think about the 4 years that have happened since that meeting, how good the Lord has been to me. It makes me emotional. It makes me sit back and just want to reflect on how good he's been. Just thinking about, you know, overcoming those injuries, playing at a high level, doing what people said couldn't be done, all the while continuing to do the things that we do in the community with my foundation. My foundation is the Thomas Davis Defending Dreams Foundation. And you don't know a lot about us. We try to do as much as we can to help families in our community. My wife, she's the executive director of my foundation. She's sitting right here. My kids are sitting right here. And as the executive director of my foundation, she is one of the executive directors that don't take in a dime. She don't get paid a cent for what she does. And with that, and in doing that, every dime, every single cent that we are able to raise for the kids and the families in the community goes directly back to the community. Because we feel that if we're able to do that, we can impact and reach so many people. Because that's the goal. As an NFL player, we have a platform, we have an opportunity to give to these kids, to show these kids. I have four kids right here that are sitting with my wife, and I feel like as their father, it's important for me to be a good example to them. And in order for me to be a good example to them, I gotta conduct myself in a way that I can always be proud of, to say, hey, I set an example for my kids. I set an example for my boys on how to be a man. I set an example for my daughters on how a mother's supposed to, how a wife or how a mother or a daughter's supposed to be treated by the way that I treat their mother. And I feel that that's important. I feel that that goes a long way in life. And you hear so many athletes that turn down the opportunity to be a role model. I don't understand that. I don't get that. We're in this position for a reason. We've been blessed with these talents. We've been blessed with this opportunity to be able to take stage in front of millions. It's important for us to use that the right way. And if you go out and you do things in your community, you make a difference, it's not hard to do things the right way. It's not. You find someone to hold you accountable for your actions. And I talked about it earlier. When I met Mr. Richardson, I was a 21-year-old kid that didn't fully get it. You know, I was drafted in the first round, and I was excited to be a part of a organization that I felt like was on the rise, that was doing good things, that just made it to the Super Bowl 2 years prior, and I just felt good about where I was. I didn't fully understand until I had the opportunity to sit down with Mr. Richardson and had to go to his house and sit beside that clock. And if any of you know Mr. Richardson, you know you sit by that clock. You know, you're in for a long day. But fortunate enough for me, you know, having that one opportunity to sit down and have that conversation and really get to know Mr. Richardson as the person and, you know, what he expected from us as players and from a standpoint of being a productive citizen, I think that really has allowed me to continue to be accountable for my actions and everything that I do and making a difference in the community. So again, Mr. Richardson, thank you. And I appreciate it. And thank you guys here. Thank you.
Thomas Davis, linebacker with the Carolina Panthers and the 2016 recipient of the Bart Starr Award. Ben Watson is a 12-year NFL tight end. He was a first-round pick of the New England Patriots. He's currently with the New Orleans Saints. This year, Watson was one of the three finalists for the 2015-16 Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award. During Super Bowl breakfast, he shared his reflection on his NFL career.
Well, first of all, I am. Look up here, all these guys with gold jackets, and then look at me. I'm like, what's going on? I love the 49ers and the Bears growing up, so I'm like in heaven right now. This is amazing. But I was involved in two Super Bowls with the Patriots. In 2004, we were coming off a win before. It was the back-to-back of the Super Bowls. And then again in 2007 when you go 18 straight and then somehow lose in the last game. I'm not hurt about it. I'm okay. I've been in counseling. But in 2004, I get drafted, and I'm excited to go up there and play, and I end up tearing my ACL and missing most of that year. And as you remember, we went on to win the Super Bowl against the Eagles that year down in Jacksonville, Florida. And it was really, really tough for me to not be able to perform and to play in the game. When you come in as a rookie, you have so many expectations for yourself, also that the media gives you and for your team. You want to come in and prove that you're worth being on that team and contribute. And then going through that whole ordeal, having to go through rehab, being up in Boston with 80 inches of snow when you're from South Carolina, it was horrible. Going through all that, and then not being able to play in the game was tough. And so I go to the game, my wife, who was my fiance then, you know, my family was there, and I was kind of a jerk to everybody, I would say. I wasn't happy, I was upset. We did all the media day, we did that, we did the team picture, we did that. Everything, all the stuff that you do around the Super Bowl, I wasn't happy to be there because I couldn't play in the game. I was really being quite selfish. And so I get my ring, and I didn't really wear it too often, and it didn't feel like I had earned the right to wear the ring. And then after a few years, I started to realize that, you know what? I'm a champ. I'm a champion. This is a team game. I couldn't perform in the game, but it's a team game. And God really taught me a lot through that whole ordeal. You know, now looking back on it, I can appreciate some of the lessons that he taught me. But one thing I'll just share with you really quickly that he taught me is that even though I didn't perform by my own merit, I can still stand before you and say, I am a Super Bowl champion. I can wear my ring with pride. And what God really, really taught me through the whole thing is that that's the same thing he does for us. You know, we're sitting here at a Super Bowl prayer breakfast, and we're talking about football. Awesome. We're hearing these great football stories from these legends. Awesome. But the bottom line, what we really want you to hear is the fact that you too can be champions in Christ, not because of anything that you do, but because of his grace through his son, Jesus Christ. And so, you know, that's what he taught me through the whole ordeal. And it was hard. It was hard because all of us want to earn our salvation, number one, before him, but also want to earn the right to stand before our peers and have all the accomplishment that we get. But it was really humbling for me to have guys like Tom Brady go out there and say, you know what, don't worry about it. We're going to get you that ring.
Ben Watson, tight end with the New Orleans Saints. On February 4th, 2007, Tony Dungy made NFL history, becoming the first African-American head coach to win a Super Bowl when the Indianapolis Colts defeated the Chicago Bears in Super Bowl 41. The win also made him just the third person in NFL history to win a title as a player and as a head coach. Following the 2008 season and after 31 seasons patrolling the NFL sidelines, he retired from coaching. Since stepping down as head coach of the Colts, Dungy has worked as an analyst for NBC's Football Night in America. As a committed Christian, he remains active in a number of charitable causes. At this year's breakfast, Dungy delivered the closing remarks.
This is an honor for me to actually close out the program. If you look at your program, you see on the bottom it says Benjamin Watson closing remarks. Benjamin was supposed to do this part of it. He had to go to the Walter Payton Awards, and so they asked me to fill in. And it's quite an honor to share what Bart Starr would say is the most important part of this morning. This is my second time doing it. 10 years ago, we're in Detroit. I got a chance to do that one and close it out. Brent asked me kind of last minute, Brent and Corwin, Benjamin's got to go. Can you, take the reins? Gosh, what am I going to talk about? I said, well, 10 years ago, you talked about one of your sons. You can just do that again. So my wife, Lauren, is there. We actually have 10 kids. We have 7 boys. So I had to think about which one I'm going to talk about. But, yes, that is a congratulations to her. It's all her, not me. But 10 years ago, I talked about my oldest son, James, and told a story about him. And this year, I think I'm going to tell you about our third son, Jordan. Jordan is 15 years old and just a special, special kid. He was born in 2000. He's in the hospital, and the doctors are saying, we're going to do some checking. Don't know exactly what it is, but we'll let you know. And a day later, they said, we ran a lot of tests. Everything seems fine. We're ready to let him come home. And he came home, and it didn't take us long to realize that he was special and he was different in a lot of ways. And we didn't know it at the time, but one of the things they didn't tell us is he didn't cry when he got circumcised. And later on, as we're investigating things, they said, yeah, he's one of the few. That I can't even remember one that didn't cry with that. So he's not crying very much, and we're noticing different things, and he's getting banged up a little bit. But the real tip-off, he was about 6 months old, and I'm babysitting, Lauren's out, and I'm watching a football game on TV, and he's on the bed, and he rolled off. I said, oh, gosh, I'm in trouble now. She's going to know I wasn't paying attention, I wasn't doing my job. And nothing, no reaction at all, didn't cry, nothing, and held him. I said, wow, this is weird. Well, we started seeing more things, and started taking him to some tests and said, oh, you better see a neurologist. We're living in Tampa at the time. We took him in. We can't figure this out. Need to see. Take him to University of Florida. We took him there. They said, we've not seen this before. There's something. We can't put our finger on it. We finally, after about 2 years of kind of searching, took him to Johns Hopkins and Dr. Tom Crawford there, a pediatric neurologist, diagnosed him, said he's got a condition called congenital insensitivity to pain. And this is Johns Hopkins, where they've seen everything. Dr. Crawford said, I've read about this disease, but I've never seen a case. And he's telling us a lot of things that were going to happen to Jordan. We're going to have to be careful. And it's a one in a million, one in a billion disease. And that kind of got us going. We felt a little better that we knew at least what was happening with him and we'd be able to take care of it, but he doesn't feel any external pain. And you think that that's a blessing, you think that would be good, and it's not. And when people ask, I get into deep theological questions, and they say, if God is so good, why does he allow pain? Jordan, we understand now why he allows pain, because if you don't feel pain, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. And it happened with Jordan, and we had to watch him. We had to learn how to watch him, because things that we take for granted, he didn't understand. And he would, put his hands in the fire, put his hands in the oven, couldn't feel it, so it didn't matter to him. You'd take him out on the playground and take him up the slide, and he'd slide down and have a good time, and slide down the second time, this is more fun. Put him up there the third time, and he'd just jump off. Because hitting the ground from this far, or 6 feet or 10 feet, it was all the same. So he's had a lot of operations, he's damaged a lot of bones, a lot of things that he can't even feel. And Dr. Crawford would tell us, hey, you've got to examine him every day, he's gonna have abrasions, he's gonna have cuts, things, and we'd find things. He'd say, when did you do this? And he wouldn't even remember it because it didn't have an impact. So we asked Dr. Crawford, what's the outlook? And he was very honest. He said, unfortunately, I can tell you the outlook isn't very good. We don't have a lot of information on these kids because a lot of them don't survive past 7 or 8 years old. They end up really destroying themselves or having something happen that, that you can't overcome. So, of course, that wasn't comforting to hear that. Said he's going to be a little speech delayed, which he was. He's a very smart young man, but he's 3-4 years old, not saying a word. And we finally got that figured out. They told us because of the way things are developing in this condition, some things, his physical strength will develop quicker than his vocal cords and things. Well, he's certainly made up for that now. We long for the days when he was speech delayed at times. But he's been awesome. He's been great, and we've learned a lot from him. He doesn't complain. He wanted to be here this weekend. He's 15 years old now, and just a wonderful kid. He's probably had 30 surgeries. He's broken leg, hip, tibia, ankle, dislocated elbows, you name it. He's done it, and he's had to learn by experience. And it's one thing to say, you know, don't do this, you're going to get hurt. When your child does it and they do get hurt, they say, Mom and Dad might be right. They know something. But for him, he's had to learn, don't do this because you could be in the hospital for 6 weeks. And that's how he's had to learn things. And throughout this whole life experience with him, it's really taught us why God does allow us to feel pain at times. Because when you feel pain, it brings you back on course. You don't do things that would hurt you, and you try to find out where your mom and dad are. Our 9 other kids, if anything happens to them and they start bleeding, it's Mom, Mom, Dad, and they're running to you. And with Jordan, we'll see him bleeding. It's, Jordan, come here. And he's running away, going where he needs to go because he doesn't feel any effect. But he has been an awesome young man. He's been a great kid. And he's taught us a lot about life. He's taught us not to complain about things that are really insignificant. We think of ordeals and problems in our life. And for me, in this TV deal now, it's, you know, is my makeup right, or is Dan Patrick going to feed me the right line at the right time so I can make a smart comment about a coach or a player on TV? That's one of the biggest problems I have. And with him, it's different and just surviving.
Tony Dungy, Super Bowl 41 champion coach. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at jhanson@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O'Hanson, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.